Blog Talk Radio.
About this is it, and what we mean by that is this is the moment that we share out, right? Things that we might not want to share out. And for today's topic, oh man, it's really a blessing to me because I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about, you know, just being honest with yourself, being truthful with yourself about who you are. And so just man, oh, man. Phoenix, are you there, my brother?
We sure am.
there you go, man. So, dude, how you been? How's everything going for you so far?
Oh, man, you know, I just try to put one foot in front of the other and try not to trip on myself.
yes, there you go. Good job. And
keep it humble.
So, yeah, that's right. That's right, man. And, you know, I just want to say thank you so much, man. Really appreciate you. I know I'm always pulling at you. But, you know, it's a gift for me to have a brother like you that's just right there willing to share, you know, your thoughts and stuff about these different topics that come up in our lives and stuff and in conversations. And yesterday, you know, I in my Bible study, we talked about some things, too, that was pretty heavy. And I was like, man, this is good to be able to just, you know, confront. You know, like who you are, like who am I? Who, you know, am I who I think I am, or am I who I pretend to be? You know, and so I want you to, you know, just kind of, you know, if you want to share a little bit about the topic of the show we're talking about today.
Well, it's interesting. En route, you know, my wife works at a gym. She's a yoga instructor, and I was mentioning to her what our discussion would be like today, and then the question that you posed. And it was really interesting how, you know, third party removed, of course, because we always, you know, we use the expression monkey doesn't see its tail. But she went on to express, I thought, some very good points in terms of changing the man who we are in the mirror, our character flaws. And one of the things that I thought was pointed out was that, you know, the power, you know, when you and I went to school, we used the power of using all our senses. You know, today we have so much technology and we can talk into our phones and stuff can happen and remote devices and such. But nothing beats when you put pen to pad and itemize the things in which you think you're lacking in as you take an honest, no holes barred look at yourself. And I thought that was very practical because we're using all five senses, you know, when we do that. And to be able to write it down requires focus, you know, because sometimes we can't write down things because it hasn't come to the fore. And so in terms of writing it down, we're first identifying what this character flaw is, and then we're allowing our senses to get involved, and then we're allowing those thoughts to manifest, which I think is key in this equation, because once you identify what it is, and then you begin, like some people, you know, will say, well, I'm putting this out in the universe, you know, you start to manifest, you start to meditate and say, wow, you know what? It might be as simple as I'm late all the time. Okay, this is a character flaw, and my husband or my wife hates the fact that I'm always late. So now you've manifested that thought. Now you can begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together. So I thought that those were some good suggestions, don't you?
Absolutely. Go, girl. And so I so basically, you know, what we're talking about here is, are you true about you, like who you really are? And so I want to just kind of open it up a little bit by saying that when I thought about this, I thought I was true about who I am. Because I never really thought about it like that. Nobody's like put it in my face like, are you really who you say you are? You know, and nobody's ever really put it in my face like that. And so, but one day, my wife said to me, and I really don't like to say, you know, my personal stuff, but I'm being honest because I'm going to be really true today, and this is really personal for me, that my wife said, you know, you're really nice to, and you're so nice to everybody else, but every once in a while, you're not so nice to me. and I go, so basically what she's saying is that I'm really not, I mean, which one am I? Am I the one that's really nice to people, or am I the one that's not so nice? And then I was thinking, well, maybe I'm a mixture of both of them, right? So, but really, but it made me think about it. And like when I started thinking about it, I was like, well, I don't want to be this guy that is not so cool. Because if I was to ask someone, if I was to ask, you know, someone like, so who, you know, what do you think about me? What is my character? You know, I want to hear them say something nice about me. I don't want them to say that I'm an idiot or I'm a jerk, you know, and I, you know, or I, you know, I just go around and you know, just anything negative. I want to hear them say nice things about me. So,
well, you know, what I would interject at this point is that, you know, being true to the cause of this conversation, you know, there's an old adage that they say you always hurt the ones you love, and it's not because you want to hurt them. I think it's because familiarity, you know, they say breeds contempt, and we kind of let our hair down with the ones we love. We kind of move more into an interior type of conversation that we don't allow everybody else. So it's more intimate in that setting. We let our hair down, and sometimes we don't realize that we ruffle the mate, you know, our feathers mate. And I had a similar conversation with my loved one this morning en route to her job, and I said, you know, I'm always told that I'm an intellectual. I speak like an attorney. You know, I'm silver-tongued and all of these things. And I take those things with a grain of salt. But sometimes it's my blessing and my curse because I'm so transparent. I'm so willing to be emotionally available that sometimes I say things supercharged to my wife that gets me in trouble. I don't mean to. I think I'm being painfully, blatantly honest. But she's like, what the heck? You see, most men are not emotionally available. I mean, we're taught to be close-fisted, don't show your emotion. You know, a lot of my buddies, you know, they'll counsel me to say, hey, Phoenix, man, don't let it all out there. You know, you got to hold something back, keep a guess. And I said, wait. I'm not playing games with my wife. If there's something that I feel or something that I think needs to be addressed, of course, at the appropriate time and hopefully tactfully seasoned with salt, I'll say, you know, the other day such and such occurred, and I just wanted to bring you up to speed on what I was thinking about. What's your thoughts? You know what I'm saying? So it's a blessing, bro, and it's a curse. But, yes, we can ruffle the feathers of others that we're close to because we're intimately connected. So we have to be careful to temper it tactfully.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, I ran this by you, too, because it's really, really important to me that I represent myself as the person who I think I am. And so when I'm confronted that I am not doing that, you know, then it makes me at ease. So, you know, I called a couple of pastors because I remember that when someone asked Jesus, who are you? And his question back to them was, well, who do you say I am? Because Jesus knew who he was.
Right.
Because he knew who he was. He's like, well, but who do you say I am? Because who you say I am will let me know if I'm doing my job or if I'm not. That's what my thinking was. Like, he needed to know that they knew that he was the Son of God. It was based on his movements, based on, you know, all the things, the miracles and the prayers and the healings, all these things that he did for them. They knew who he was, and they said who he was, right? And so when I'm around my friends, I want to know, who do they think I am? Am I some kind of idiot? You know, so I listen to my friends because my friends, I am intimately, like you said, close to them. I'm involved in a relationship with them. And so I want to be the best me that I can be. And so, but I have to check myself periodically because I know that, you know, none of us are perfect and we're all going to make mistakes. But it's really important that we pay attention to our movements and not just be out there.
And I'm, I'm glad you said that to honor our guest with our discussion today. The practical reasons for taking an honest, no holds barred look at yourself is that we really need, you know, we live in an age of authentication. You know, one thing that I give this newest generation, you know, if they're wearing Adidas, it's got to be authentic. You know, our generation, we didn't wear 9.999 gold. We wore Monet. It was gold look-alike. It was gold tone. This generation is not about gold tone. They want the genuine article. And so it's appropriate then in the times we're living to authenticate yourself, not necessarily looking for validation from others. Yes, that's a litmus test for people to say, hey, this is what you really reflect, and that's good to know. But from your inward part, you know, King David talked about inward parts, is to really authenticate yourself, to really soul search yourself and say, you know, am I the man that I really want to be? You know, that discussion I had with my wife or my buddy yesterday, is that the way I really, like if I had to do a do-over, would I have said it the same way? Was it in the heat of the moment? You know, could cooler heads have prevailed? You know, who am I really? And I think that's really the crux of this discussion, taking an honest look at yourself, your inward parts, and self-analyzing and perfecting those imperfections. And, and one of the ways that was mentioned to me by my wife was to jot it down, look at it, use all five senses to manifest those thoughts clearly, because then and only then can you move forward, not with 10 things that you do wrong, hopefully it's not that many, but one at a time, and really work on developing those character flaws, so important today, because sometimes you don't get a second chance to make that first good impression.
Yes, true that. You know, I also, you know, wanted, you know, like, so to get yourself to the point where you can be honest with yourself, to make sure that you're fit, because a lot of us, like, I believe that my wife was right about, you know, my character. You know, like you, well, you were kind of justifying it by saying, well, you know, we get comfortable, you know. And so, but see, when I get comfortable, I don't want to get comfortable and be a jerk. I want to be comfortable. Yeah, right? If I get comfortable, I just want to, you know, laugh and have fun. I don't think that is, I should be able to just, well, I'm just comfortable. I didn't mean to be a jerk. Well, you were a jerk. You know, you see, sometimes we can use that as an excuse. I don't want to use that as an excuse. So what I wanted to ask you is where do we start from, you know, going and if we feel that we need to fix some flaws, how would you go and say, you know, how do you be true with yourself? What do you do? And so when I went into that, one of the things that I came up with, I'll let you answer the next one. The first thing I came up with was to be honest with yourself. Gotta be honest with yourself as to what you're asking yourself and how you answer that question. You gotta be honest about it. You know, in other words, be real. Be real. Don't just say, okay, well, you know, who am I? What am I? You know, be like, sincerely, you want to go after it and know exactly that's what I was told. And so what about you? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, too, you know, I was thinking, you know, within congregations, if you're involved with an organized religion or church, sometimes it's appropriate, you know, one thing is to go to your friends and they may, you know, they may pepper it differently, you know, being sensitive to your needs. But I was thinking the older members, the elders within the Christian congregation, the seasoned ones, and to, you know, to visit them not only for self-gain, but to take an honest interest in their needs. And then to ask them that question, you know, what do you see in me? You know, what things do you see in me that you feel I may or may not be aware of that I need to change? Sit back, get some popcorn, and get something to drink, because they got something to drink.
Yeah.
And if you approach it in a dignified way, I think, you know, they're the best litmus test to go to, because older ones have less filters. You know, they're not trying to be your best friend. They typically don't have an ulterior motive. And they are sitting, waiting to impart wisdom to you. And it's a gift from the Creator. To be able to go to the older, more seasoned ones. It may be to that uncle that's the older member in the family, you know, Uncle Duke, right? You know, say, hey.
Uncle Greg.
You know, hey, you know, great to see you. You know, I'm having some issues with myself and my relationships, my interpersonal relationships on the job, man. I'm not as well received. Can you tell me if you see something in me perhaps that I don't see? That I need to change. Sit back, get the popcorn, because it's coming. And then be willing to accept what they have to say. Don't be willing to knock it down. Listen. You know, in order to receive, you have to listen.
Yes.
That's the first
absolutely.
Thing that I would do.
Yes. So, yeah, and then, you know, like, you, that's the, kind of what I have next here, where I say, and a friend you can trust. And is it, please tell me, you know, please tell me the truth about who you see I am. Obviously, we want, you know, to reach out to God and you know, ask God, how do I look? Like, who am I? Am I the Wardell that you're molding me into be? Or am I just this guy that is faking to being? This is for the Christians. You know, or am I just a man that proclaim your glory and say that I'm a Christian, but I'm not walking the walk. I just talk the talk, you know. And so, you know, you have to start finding, you know, like some basic things that work for you to help you to reel yourself in to the truth about who you really are. And so, but I just wanted to read something to you just real shortly, if I can get to it here, because it was important to me where is it here? In Proverbs 27:5, it says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Like, whoa. Like, better is hidden rebuke. In other words, it's better for someone to tell you, you know, something bad about yourself in an honest state than it is for someone to hide the truth from you, you know, that because they say they love you, but they're not going to. They're just hiding it with you, almost, like who you really are. It's better for someone to be honest and share it. Share who you are, and then it is to afford to be hidden, and you not to know. And then it also says in 6, it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You know, in other words, you know, an enemy kind of manipulates you with kisses, but a friend will be honest with you and tell you the truth. And that's why what Phoenix said about going to a friend, you know, or elderly person, somebody that you could trust, they're going to tell you the real truth. That's what you want, is the real truth, because without the real truth, how can you you know, establish your intent? You know, how can you get your balance
and
together?
And to underscore that point, I've recognized that within my own family and with my own children. I don't think that they really capitalized on the older members of the family. I mean, I think we have a tendency sometimes to stay within our own group, our own classification. And young people sometimes are guilty of just being clannish amongst themselves
within their age group. They're in their 20s, they hang out with those in the lower range, or in the upper 20s, they hang with people within a 2 to 3 year range. But when you step out of those comfort zones and you go to an older member within your family, somebody that's an integral, somebody that's a pillar within your family or the community, man, they got jewels to drop on you. They really do. And those are the type of friends that you need, because as you characterized in your statement, that you need those that are going to give you an honest rebuke. That means a true read of what they truly see. And let them know, hey, listen, hit me with it. You know, I really need to know, because I'm in a quandary here. I'm in this gray area that I don't know why I'm getting these kind of results. What am I doing wrong? And then when you present it that way, and you let them know that, hey, you know what, I'm humble to listen to what you have to say. I'm ready to take my medicine. Bittersweet. Give it to me. Sit back and listen.
Wow. That's heavy. Yeah. Well, I want to read to you. I have a question for you, for us, you, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is more valuable, academic intelligence or emotional intelligence?
That's an interesting question, because there are aspects of each that is contributive to something positive. I would probably lean more towards the emotional end, because people don't care how much you know, but they want to know how much you care. And so when they know how much you care, that lends more to the emotional content. You know, when you sit and just strictly academically tell somebody what they're doing wrong with no emotion to it, that's like watching a bad actor portraying a good role, but he's just a bad actor. You know, where's the emotional content? Even Bruce Lee said, he said, feel, don't think, emotional content. You know, emotional content is so beautiful. You know, when you can be in touch, when you can be emotionally available, as opposed to being emotionally unavailable. So I would lean more towards emotional content. Yeah, it could be peppered with intellect. Everybody loves when you are rooted intelligently. But, you know, show a little more feeling. Emotion is not a negative. You know, for us men in the audience, you know, we're taught to play with trucks and be tough guys. But let's not diminish our softer sides, you know, things that reveal who we really are authentically. Hey, man, that hurt. Yeah. Or, you know, you said this to me and, wow, that really threw me. Maybe we need to say it differently. Maybe we shouldn't attack each other a certain way. And that makes the other person feel comfortable, because then they go, wow, he's human after all.
after all. Yeah,
after all,
absolutely.
You're only human after all.
Yeah, that was an awesome answer to that question. And thank you. Thanks for the question, and thanks for the response to that question. Man, I'm gonna leave that right there. So you know, I'm just excited that we are talking about this, because it is important that we take the time to think about, you know, these things that are so important in our lives and things that can redirect your path. You know, when I was told that by my wife, it really made me check about who I was. And, you know, and I remember you saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself, you know. And I was like thinking, you know, that's exactly what I need to do, because it's not just about her. It's just that it's not just about how I respond to her, but maybe there's others that I may respond that way too. And I need to fix that part of me the best that I can, you know, before I end up in a situation I don't want to be in, you know.
Well,
and that means hurting
people. Let me jump into the deep end of the pool. When you called me, I think it was yesterday, and we talked about, we prefaced about the topic that we would discuss today, and I was telling you that I was going through a little gray patch with my my spouse. And I, you know, it's amazing how beneficial this has been for me, because, you know, I don't profess to know it all. I'm humbled by the process. Mm. And I had a discussion with my wife the other day, and it was very early in the morning. For her, she's a late sleeper. She loves to sleep to 2, 3 in the afternoon. That's morning for her, where I'm a 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning kind of guy, early to bed, early to rise. Well, mm-hmm. I opened a discussion up with her like 5 o'clock in the morning, something that was really troubling me about our interpersonal relationships, without getting into the gory details, but I didn't really present it in the best possible light. You know, I did raise my voice a little bit. I got emotionally charged, and she was so incensed. You know, she told me later, you know, you woke me up from a deep sleep. I wasn't ready to receive that kind of conversation from you. And it just went spiraling downturn. You know, it was terrible. Mm-hmm. And so this morning I made sure I waited till she got ample rest. And I approached her by her bedside, good bedside manner, on my knees as she was laying there. And I held her arms and I said, can I have a do-over, you know? And I apologized, you know, to the nth degree for the way I presented. My information wasn't wrong, but my presentation was terrible.
Mm.
And so, of course, she shot me down a few times. But I stayed on the course, and I begged for her. Yeah, but you did that, and you raised your voice. And yeah, I said, it wasn't that I was emotionally charged. So that gets you in trouble too, unchecked, unfettered, you know.
Right.
And so I know she loves massages. So I start to massage her shoulders.
Ah,
and I said, is that okay? Yes. I said, is that okay if I massage? She says, yeah. So I said, how does that feel? She said, right there. Well, that hurts, you know, right there. So I'm massaging her shoulders and her arms because she works at a gym. So she's moving weights and she's you know, putting equipment back. And so she's always sore. So that was a good move to massage her, you know.
Right.
As I was massaging her, I was lamenting that I hoped that she could find it in her heart to forgive me the way I presented it to her. And I kept telling her that I really love her, which I do, and that I would never want to be on the outs within our relationship. I was sick the whole day, bro, because I knew, like you said, I took a personal look at myself. And I said, you know, Phoenix, you were dead. You were right, but you were dead wrong. You know, your approach was terrible. And I told her, because I love her, it wasn't justification, but it was my mode of operation. That I jumped into the deep end of the pool and I was drowning. I couldn't even doggy paddle out of that one. But I'm happy to say, you know, these things are beneficial because when we go through discussions like this, like you found out a character flaw that your wife brought to your attention, it caused me to go back. And sometimes it's not donkey years. You know, you don't got to go back 5 years ago, but what you used to do, go back to what you did yesterday, last night, during dinner, while you were heading to the movies, while you were going to the grocery store. You don't got to go that deep. You don't got to go, like I said, donkey years. Go back 24 hours. What did you do 24 hours ago? You know, you stepped your foot all in it, and you know it, because the paint is still wet in your mind. Go there. And reiterate, identify, apologize, and mean it. And be willing to accept their assaults, because trust me, sometimes when you let your guard down, you're going to get hit with a left and a right real quick. Boom, boom. But accept it. Because guess what? Yeah. I mean, she let me have it. She was like, yeah, and, you know, da, 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 da. And, you know, she was throwing the flames at me. But I know she loves me, and I know that I had enough love in the bank, which is important, I might underscore. You know, when you have situations like that, be able to go to your love bank and to withdraw what you put into the relationship. If you've been dogmatic throughout the whole relationship and you've never been complimentary and you've never been the kind of guy to be soothing with the salve or the massage or whatever it takes that you know she likes, it becomes more difficult because that's who you've been. But if you know, if you can say, babe, you know, I've always been complimentary. you know I love you. She says, I know you do, honey. I love you from the bottom of my heart. I can't even imagine not being. I can't.
Mm.
You know, it's a void. And these are the types of discussions. Take it from dumb number one. Yours truly.
Mm.
It works, because when these are messages from your heart and you mean it, and when you want to rectify a problem, you have to first identify what the problem is. And
right,
so that's
right,
just
right.
Something that I went through, bro, in the last not even 12 hours. And I think of your show, Wardell, and I always compliment you for being
what?
The instigator of great conversations and your audience, man. I mean, they really come back with some tremendous questions that are so thought-provoking. It shows that not only people are tuning in, but they're really tuning in.
Yeah, I love them.
That's my favorite.
They are awesome. And so that's why I also, because I want to, these are thoughts that are on my mind, and I figure if I'm thinking these things, and stuff, maybe other people are having some issues with some of this stuff too. And so I just wanted to share it with, other people around the world so they can, can hear, what someone wise like yourself is thinking. And all the questions and stuff we get from them, they kind of help as well. Like this one, it says, what is the difference between an intuition and a thought? And I'm like, what? I'm throwing that to you so quick. Like,
one is a deeper shade of gray than the other. You know, a thought could be anything from, hey, you know what? I was thinking, what about pizza for tonight? But intuition is a little more integral. It's a little more of an interior kind of thought process. It's something that is, sometimes you get this thought, but you can't quite scratch the itch. You feel like something is not quite centered, and it's intuitive. It's almost inaudible. It's almost gray, and sometimes it requires much more of a surgical approach. Much more tactful than you would atypically in a thought. Sometimes, you say, babe, you didn't say anything the other day, but I don't know. I just kind of felt, are we okay? did I do anything to offend you? These are probing. This is a surgical, inquisition. This is something, a surgeon doesn't come out with a hacksaw and start chopping in somebody. They're very skilled, very deliberate, but tactful in their approach. So intuitions require a little bit more of an insightful approach. So, yes, they are different.
Yes. So that's good. That's awesome. Man, oh, man, dude, this has been really good. This is, I went into this show having a little bit of anxiety because I knew that I was going to be dealing with who I am. And I told my wife, I said, I'm a little stressed out about it because this is really about who I'm like pulling the covers off and going, okay, this is who I am. Now, how do I fix this crap? And I said, and I'm sharing it to a degree, just a little bit, but I'm sharing it with people that, that I do, like I said, sometimes I can, say things to my wife that I probably shouldn't. It's just the way that I said it that is just wrong. And then she's like, but that's not who I see that you are. And I know that you're, she said, I know that you're not like that because I hear how you talk to everybody else. But periodically, you just drop a bomb on me. And so I said, I'm going to throw it out there because I got to fix this. And the way I'm going to fix it is just call myself out and say, this is, if you're doing that, you need to get yourself together. Because my marriage is everything to me, and my wife is everything to me, and I need to make sure that I protect.
Well, at least we know you're going to get dessert tonight, apple pie, a pile of motion.
Yes, you know what I'm talking about? apple pie Alamo. Yes, go on. Just hook a brother up.
And you know, something, here's a little something to throw out to the audience, because sometimes, you know, we just don't need advice, but we need a real working example. And, you know, if it's your spouse, hey, honey, what do I need to do to be a better man for you?
Right.
I feel I'm doing the best that I can. But what do I need to do? And I said that today. What do I need to do? Because I want to be a better man for you. What do I need to do to be a better man for you? Or if it's your mom, hey, mom, what do I need to do to be a better son for you? I think I'm doing the best that I can, but are there some areas that I need some shoring up on? Or, you know, at your job, what do I need to do to be a better, whatever my choice of or field is within this equation? What do I need to do to be a better man, be a better woman, be a better son, better daughter? These are the types of things that demonstrate to the person that you're directing it to that you're coming with arms open. You're willing to accept the consequences and be willing to accept them. Because you might get a mouthful. You might take a couple of left hooks and a right. But maybe you needed it. Maybe you needed a wake-up call.
Absolutely. Well, how do I know if... hold on. I just had a message for you. 1 second. Let me see if I can get to that. And thank you guys so much. We appreciate, you know, all the questions and stuff. It's, you know, this is great. It's a, you know, you and we're just going back and forth here, and we're blessing each other in this conversation. Let me see what happened to it. How do I know if I am really happy? Whoa. How do I know that if I am really happy? Well, how do I know if I am really happy? Wow, That question I don't even know how to describe the question, but it's a heavy question.
The first thing that comes to mind about happiness is different for everybody. No two leaves on a tree are alike. So what makes one person happy could make another person. So happiness really requires insightful insight. To who's directing the happiness in the case of a husband and a wife? That's an intimate setting. You know, my wife used to be very quiet and withdrawn, and I would have to read more of her body language and her eyes than her expressions, because in some ways, you know, she told me she used to be intimidated to speak with me because she felt that my educational level was higher than hers. So happiness is different for everybody. You know, it's almost like testing the waters, you know, before you get in the pool. Is it comfortable for you? Is the air conditioner too hot, too cold? So happiness is different for everybody. But I think the thing to keep in mind is to be sensitive to the needs of others. That's what brings true happiness. I think the inverse of that is selfishness. Selfishness is motivated by your own selfish wants. But to me, in my humble estimation, happiness involves the two principal people involved in a relationship, just looking at it from that aspect. Happiness involves the two principal people involved, not selfishness, happiness. So to know whether or not you're truly happy is to see if it's being received, if it's reciprocal. Other than that, then it's really selfishness, which could be a whole nother discussion unto itself.
Well, you know, I just want to share this, but I want you to finish your thought. Are you finished? That thought?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Because I felt like I cut you off there. For example. In a situation for me, the way that I realized that I was happy, I wasn't thinking about if I'm happy or not. I was just existing, right? And I didn't. So if I was sad, then I would know that I'm not happy. But someone said to me, "Hey, you living out there in the country like that. You've been in California all these years, you know, and now you just gone to the country. How does that work for you? Are you happy doing that? And I said, and my answer was this, you know, man, my joy comes from watching my wife be so happy that it makes me happy. And so, and I'm trying to explain this to, not only was it just to a friend, but it was even to my wife's brother. And I'm telling
you, you just proved my point. It's reciprocal. Your happiness is based on another person. In this case, your closest neighbor, which is your wife. She's your neighbor. You know, Bible talks about to love thy neighbor. Your wife is your closest relative neighbor. And your happiness is based primarily on her happiness, which is the ultimate. You know, when you think of a mother and you think of a child, what greater love does a mother have than the happiness of her child, to know that they're safe, they're home from school,
yep,
they're eating,
yep,
their lunch, they're doing their,
yep,
homework. Man, mom is lit up like a Christmas tree, because it's the reciprocal effect of being able to channel that feeling from another person. And like I said, we have to be careful, because if your happiness is based on your own selfish inclinations, check yourself before you wreck yourself, because you're going to ruffle somebody's feathers. Well, that makes me happy. But yeah, you just burnt the bridge with me.
right.
You have to be careful. So your happiness is the fact that it's reciprocal. You are connected to your wife. And what a joy is when you can make someone else happy and you see that whatever you're doing or whatever sponsor that you are in that particular relationship, it's being well received, and it's and you're connected by that feeling. Man, it doesn't get better than that.
Yes. So I don't understand. I want you to help me with this question. It says, people moan about wearing masks because of the virus, but haven't we been wearing masks all our lives?
Wow.
So
once again, your audience never ceases to amaze me. Yes, figuratively, and unfortunately, yes, most of us have. But I think one of the benefits for me personally, I can only share what I know, as I've gotten older, I've taken the mask off. You know, when I was younger, I used to look at my aunts and my dad and my grandmother, and I would say, why do they act like that? Man, they just shoot off with the mouth and say whatever they feel. I don't really have that many filters anymore. But I think when you're younger, you're predisposed to what people think, and you want to be popular, you want to be well-received. And because of that, we put on this mask. We hide behind the mask. We let our friends sometimes abuse us or say things that we don't particularly like. And we stand behind the mask. And we wind up making ourselves extremely uncomfortable, as opposed to saying, you know, when cooler heads prevail, you know, buddy, you know, the other day you said something that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. You said such and such. I don't think you meant it that way. I'd love to give you an opportunity to respond, but when you do those things, you begin to take the mask off, and you feel better about yourself. You no longer have to hide. You ever have a friend, and when they come around, you go, oh, God, here comes this friend. Man, I got to be this way for this friend, because,
they just
hard to deal with. Well, that's your problem. You've been hiding behind a mask. And they never knew you've been stepping all over their big toe, their Paul Bunyans, everything. But you never told them. So that, too, is reciprocal, because if you don't allow the other person the opportunity to rectify perhaps something that they're doing that they're not even aware that they're doing, then you're just as big a part of the problem as they are. That's the mask.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yes, that's awesome. And the response to that was the mask is only, let me see, only for, the mask is only for our public, but we need truth in our souls.
Yeah. We do.
Well, you know, and I do have a cousin like that, and he talks way too much, and I can't deal. And so as soon as he gets ready to do that, I just get up and walk away because I can't. I know what's about to happen. I only do that if someone else is there, and the other thing I do is that I do my best not to do eye contact, because that way I can get up without hurting their feelings, right?
You know, I wanted to address what the person that posed that question. Yes, I do agree that there's a certain mask that you wear for the public, because you don't want to put it all out there and let everybody know, period, you. So it's almost like a, you know, you could have a Rolls Royce, but if you have bad shock absorbers, you're going to destroy that car. As good as that car is, it's no better than the tires and the shock absorbers. So sometimes being a little closed captioned is your shock absorber to be able to deal with the imperfections of the world. So, yes, you have to temper. I think what we're talking about more acutely are interpersonal relationships with those that really matter, not JQ Public, but our wives, our children, our intimate buddies, our, you know, some people that we work with that we're just close with. And sometimes we got to pull their coat. You know, maybe on lunch break, hey, you know what? You know, you were with a customer the other day, and, you know, things were kind of sad. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but such and such. Maybe we could pull that back a little bit, see? So that's I think, what we're talking about, as opposed to a broad stroke with everybody, because some people are just not ready to receive the truth.
Right. True that.
You can't give
the
truth to everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, and yes, true, because some people, you know, like we can't even talk politics to everybody because it turns into, you know, they go to the far this way or to the far that way, and you can't, you know, just have a decent conversation.
Well, somebody got to win, and that's why Jesus was never politically correct, because somebody got to win and somebody got to lose. But if you remain neutral, you allow people to think what they were. You know, my wife is pro somebody, and I'm not. And I'm just like, okay. I said, well, we're not going to discuss that, because I have a varied view of what you're talking about, and you have a particular view. And you know what? We're not going to change that political person anyway. What we say and get all hot and bothered, man, they're out somewhere enjoying themselves on the golf course. They could care less.
Exactly.
They're having a good old time. We over here about ready to break up. Want some nonsense.
Come on. And they don't give a shit.
They don't care, man. Listen.
Yeah. Well,
we agree to disagree.
Yep, that's right.
Agree to disagree.
My wife and I, we just meet in the middle, call it a day. You leave your stuff over there, I leave my stuff over there. We come together here in the middle and do what we got to do to be, you know, a successful marriage. And all the other stuff could just stay on the outside. Leave the trash outside. But anyway, oh, man, I think it's got to be about 5 years. it's been 5 years, so we're still honeymooners in our minds. We are still honeymooners.
Well, the 21st of this month will be exactly 3 months, and you know, we're both older. She's in her 50s, and I'm in my 60s. And in fact, she's got a birthday coming up on Sunday.
All right.
So, you know, it's been, you know, and what it's really, to be fair to her, she's been transitioning as somebody that, you know, her husband died in her arms 12 years ago.
Oh.
And she's had
the comfort of her friends. And her friends have been there. And her friends basically have been kind of taken aback because they don't know how to take me. You know, they just don't know how to take me. I'm an artist. They're not artists. You know how it is. We're all weird.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
we wear
yeah,
our
yeah.
hair weird. We walk different, talk different. You know, we just, we're creative people. Sometimes we're just, I tell people all the time, I say, when they mention musicians, I say, we're not corporate. We're not typical 9-to-5-er people. So that doesn't, the rules don't apply to us in certain things.
Yeah.
So you have to be, you have to be careful. But I think it was a changing of the guards when I came on board. And I'm alpha.
Mm-hmm.
She always reminds me I'm an alpha male. And, you know, most of her friends were just like, you know, very passive. I'm a New Yorker. You know what I mean?
Oh, Lord, on top of it.
On top of it. That's the way. You know, sometimes people ask me, where am I from? And I say, you know, I'm from New York. I apologize. I'm sorry. And they go, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah. New York is a rough boy. Woo. They tell you like it is immediately. Well, hey, listen, man, I just want to say thank you again for another amazing show. You're just awesome all the time. And, you know, and sometimes we have discussions on the phone, and I go, dang, I wish I didn't talk to him. I could save that for the show. thank you, man.
Thank you for an awesome friendship, man. You know, sometimes when you go through tumultuous things, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, Wardell and I have become, you know, closer than brothers. You know, we're really like intimate brothers. I mean, we've never had a sour conversation ever. And I said, and
awesome.
You know, my dad, he was 87 when he died, and he had observed me with another brother, a spiritual brother of mine. And when the brother got out of the car, my father turned to me. He says, you know what? He says, I've never seen two men in perfect agreement. And he said that almost 5 years ago. I still think of that expression because it's just that rare for men to be in agreement. They don't like the same football team. They don't like that color jersey. Why did you get a Dodge? You need to get a Chevy. Man, you know, it's always, you know how sometimes bros, that track you did is whack. Man, the baseline is a little wrong. Man, what key is that? Man, that should have been in the key of G. You know, so sometimes we just do things to grit on each other. Yeah, man, but, you know, but to be in perfect agreement. Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, life is too short to be that controversial.
Absolutely, man. Well, listen, I want to give you, and first of all, thank you for that amazing compliment. That's beautiful, and I appreciate it, and I hold that close to my heart. And I want to give you the opportunity to close out the show, like, you know, your thoughts, anything you want to share in closing, and, you know, whatever comes to your heart. And if not, we'll just go on and do what we do.
Well, be open. I think, you know, to summarize our discussion, be open. Be honest with yourself. This was one of those rare shows where it wasn't about what other people think. It's about what you think about you. And in order for you to do that, you really got to be honest. You know, when you close your eyes and your eyeballs are looking at your eyelids, what do you think about? Do you really look at the real you? I mean, when all the lights go off and the covers come on and you're not even with your significant other, you're by yourself. You know, what the Bible calls your disquieting thoughts. Who are you really? So let's take that to heart and make those little fine adjustments. You ain't got to gobble up the whole thing, but just one little thing that you think you could change. Like Michael said, make that change. Start with the man in the mirror.
Amen to that, man. That's beautiful.
Boy.
And man, oh, man, I'm missing that boy, Mr. Michael Jackson. But, man, God bless you, man, and thank you so much, man, and look forward to, you know, talking to you later I have an amazing song that I wrote with Pink. You guys got to hear it. As soon as we get it all copyrighted, written out and all that stuff, I'm going to play this song. This brother, woo. And I got to play it for you guys soon because it's hard for me to hold it. You know, when you got something good, it's hard to hold it. And it's a song that
Phoenix. Did you get mixing it?
Huh? Yes.
Cool.
Did you hear the additional parts that I added?
Yes, but we went in and did some other stuff too, so I'm going to let you hear that too. I'm going to send it to you because I just got it. So, but I sent that all that stuff over to the engineer, and he was doing some editing. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. So, but anyway, yes, I'll get it to you. And thank you again, man. Love you much and appreciate you very much. Very, very much.
Likewise, hello to you. It's reciprocal.
All right. And hello to the wife, man. And we'll see you next time on Solar Records Radio. All right. Okay. We'll be back, guys. Don Swimming. Got it open. What's up, everybody? That was fun. Mr. Don Fleming's in the house. How you doing, Don?
I am good. How are you?
Man, just having a good time. And that song was called Let Me Show You a Thing or Two. And man, oh, man, oh, man, what a nice song. Diamond Ortiz there. So how's everything?
That is nice.
Yeah,
it's good, man. It's good just hanging out and, actually I'm here at my desk right now working a little bit. So I wanted to call in and check in and see how everything was going, man. Great conversation earlier, man. I really enjoyed it. And, man, words of wisdom right there.
Yeah, yeah. And Joey Phoenix is a pretty wise young man, I must say. He's my age, but still, he's young. We're young. We're birds of a feather flock together, right? And I enjoy talking with him and hanging out with him. He's a great songwriter as well. So I'm looking forward to getting our music out, because he's a bad boy for sure. Through the Cool in the Gang is how I hooked up with Phoenix, him and Amir Amir is the one that brought us together and stuff. So we it was kind of weird how we ended up just being buddies, because it was somebody else that I was working with, and then next thing you know, Phoenix is doing. I'm like, who is this Phoenix guy? And I like it when stuff like that happens. But anyway, man, it's time to mix it up here on Soul Out Records Radio. My boy Don Fleming, and man, I really appreciate you, man, and glad you're back in the saddle and stuff, and things are getting better for you over there. And I know it's a lot going on. So, but any thoughts on your mind? Anything you want to share?
Man, I am good. It was a great weekend, one of those relaxing weekends where you just kind of reflect and kind of just have your moment to yourself. And, it was very uplifting. It was very uplifting and soothing. So, again, I really enjoyed myself. And, again, thank you for calling in and checking on me, too.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Sounds good.
So.
Well. All right. Well, I hear some music in the background, so I'm not sure where it's coming from.
You know what? I am, I have to jump in the saddle, because we're mixing it up, right? This is what you're saying. This is what we're doing.
Let it go. You got me good. I like it.
Well, you know what, man? Let's go ahead and continue to listen to. Let's pass the Dutchie with Musical Youth. You guys keep it locked right here. This, of course, we're talking about. We're mixing it up on Soul Out Records Radio. You guys keep it locked.
Let's do this. Break. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this.
my feet, I jam to the sound of the sequence. I wave your hands in the air, I wave them like a juice. Don't care, like a junior artist and a Fred Astaire. My main man, a yoga bear. I set a hip for my jazz and the rest my dance. And I jam to the disco beat. And if you can move your body like you move your hands, then I'm sure you can move your feet. Cause I'm supersonic, I'm a 3X times. When I'm not down, I'm up. And when I get real hungry, I run to the store and get my Reese's cup. I watch TV on my own. You gotta yabba dabba do, afraid of Flintstone. I'm sweeter than candy, I'm sweeter than honey. That's why they call me blind. I'm super cool and I'm super fine. And I'm one of a kind to shock your mind. You can ring my bell all through the night, or you can rock my body to the early light. But don't ring my bell, I'm saying please if you cannot fulfill my needs. I don't mean to brag, I don't mean to boast, but they call my name from coast to coast. From the coast of California to the shore of Maine, everybody loves my games there. I got more rhymes in the back of my mind than Benedict. I love us. I say I got style and I got class. I don't talk, my stuff gets fast. I'm cold as ice. I'm twice as nice. I get more sex than a cat chase night. Blondie, hey, that's me. I'm rapping in the key of R.A.P. I said bye-bye, baby, boogie. A boogie, baby, boogie, baby, boogie, boogie, goodbye. I said a bye-bye, baby, boogie. A boogie, baby, boogie, baby, boogie, boogie, goodbye. And you heard the Blondie, and it was all the way live. I said, Blondie, hey, that's me. I'm rapping in the key of R.A.B.
That's from my stash, Wardell. That is music from The Sequence from 1979. That's Funk You Up. Of course, for all you guys that are familiar with Angie Stone, the R&B artist Angie Stone, that was her first group. That was from back in the day. She's been in the game for a long time. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, the first female artist signed to Sugar Hill Records, of course, Sylvia Robinson's label. Of course, you had Sugar Hill Gang and whatnot. That was the sequence. Funk You Up, and of course, before that, I had to go in Wardell's stash and hook up some Climax from the Max's Back, 1990. Of course, that is Good Love, and of course, started the block off from 1982, music from Musical Youth, and it's called Pass the Dutchie. Of course, not to be confused, Pass the Cutchie, which means, you know, recreational herbs. Dutchie means cooking pot. That's what they explained to all the people that thought, oh, these kids singing about dope. No, they're singing about passing the cooking pot, with that had rice and beans and things like that. So I just wanted to add that, man. We're having a good time, man. Got about another 37 minutes left of the show. Mixing it up, Wardell. What do you think, man? That was my block.
Love it. That's right. I wanted you to do it because I love the music you play. It's like I said, I wouldn't think of playing some of the songs you played. And I love that first song. I was like, oh, yeah. And so thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you're back. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back again. This is, you know, this is kind of, in a way, it's kind of, again, therapeutic for me. But I'm glad that all of the listeners out there are enjoying it and having fun and, you know, listening to good music. And, again, thank you guys for the feedback. I really appreciate the feedback of the show. I want to thank you for your continued prayers. So, but man, yeah, I am back in the saddle again, man, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Back in the saddle, my brother. And so I want to also remind people tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Indie Artist Day. So, and we're looking forward. We're hoping we can get Lucas on here tomorrow. I'm waiting for confirmation now. But, you know, tune in because it's hump day. We're right in the middle of it, and it's the middle of the week. And it's just that music is just so smooth. It's so relaxing for me. So my friends that are at work, especially in L.A.
It really is.
At work on your computers, and especially in New York because it's kind of late in New York, too. Like when I say late, it's later in the day. You guys are ready to go home. Well, this music will put you to sleep. It's so relaxing to hear that jazz show. Jazz, that music, that good music, that good food, and that good company. Oh, man. That's all.
Just imagine, Just imagine if, I mean, again, you said good food. Just imagine enjoying some great jazz music, and you're just relaxing, and there's a good plate of chili. You know, a good plate of chili, or a good plate of just meatballs and spaghetti.
I'm telling you, man,
I'm hungry right now. That's probably why.
He's always in the kitchen too. I'm surprised he's not in there now. So I am upstairs working again. I'm in another generation.
You know what?
So I'm talking about some sautéed vegetables, you know, maybe some little sautéed chicken or something, or fish.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a glass of red wine and just some great music. Not, I don't know what he's talking about. He might as well talk about cheese crackers or something.
I just had a glass of sangria. Actually, that's what I was drinking it probably about 20 minutes ago. I had a glass of sangria, and I'm telling you, it was just amazing. You're welcome. All the listeners out there, you're welcome. You know what, though? I don't want to hold you up to it, but I don't want to feel like I'm hijacking your show, but I got one more song I want to play going into this block. I'm a big fan of the Silvers, and which, you know, your story along with, you know, how you met the Silvers and how you and Leon were roommates and things like that. I love hearing those stories, man. And I haven't played the Silvers in a while. So I want to, guys, you know, I want to go ahead and get back to the music. We got about another 33 minutes left of the show. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. I want to take you back to the year 1973 and give you one of my all-time favorites from the Silvers. This is a beautiful song called Cry of a Dreamer. You guys keep it locked right here. Of course, we're mixing it up. Wardell, you got the next couple, but I just wanted to hook that up. You guys keep it locked right here to Solar Records Radio.
Thanks, bro. love it. Anyway, guys, this is Wardell Fudge Jr. What a beautiful song. My goodness gracious. And I hope you guys are all good. See, we play all kind of music on Tuesdays because we're mixing it up. We're giving you a combination of all the music that we play here on Solar Records Radio throughout the week. And so tomorrow you will hear music like that. And see, like I was saying, about sautéed vegetables right there, right there. Sauteed vegetables. Oh, man. And if you're okay with a little fish, oh, man, a little red wine, whatever it is. Whatever floats your boat. And some of my friends that are, you know, non-drinkers and stuff, I mean, I'm not trying to encourage that at all because I have a lot of friends that are, you know, went through AA, and I did too. I went there with my friends to support them that were alcoholics, and they don't drink. But they're still crazy. No, I'm just playing. But, you know, so this is what they tell me because I say, man, you are out of your mind. And they say, Wardell, it's not the drinking that's the problem. It's the thinking that's the problem. So I'm like, oh, so there it is right there. Because, you know, you get rid of the drinking and you're obsessive. You just want more, 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 more. So then it go on to something else that they get obsessed about more. But anyway, that's just, you know, but I love it that they go through the 12-step program because it's really detailed and it helps you to take those steps to, you know, redirect yourself and get yourself on track again. So much love to all of my brothers and sisters that have gone through the 12-step program. I'm so proud of you and appreciate you for showing us the way. Anyway, guys, so look, we only got 10 minutes left. I cannot believe it. So you take care, and thanks for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. And just tomorrow, don't forget, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks, Greg, for helping out my brother and all you do. Appreciate you and love you, man. And thanks to Phoenix for, just his wisdom. And thanks to Don Fleming. He's in and out. That's my brother. He's back, though. He is back. So proud of him. And I just want to say much love to Astrid. I know she's out there with the baseball stuff. And so you guys all have a blessed rest of your evening. And thanks so much for everything that you do for Solar Records Radio. We truly, truly love you back. And we'll see you tomorrow here. And Greg, I'll be talking to you shortly. God bless all of you guys. Have a blessed one. All right, guys. Well, God bless you and take care of yourselves. And thanks again. Father God, I just have a special blessing over to all my listeners. Father, just bless them and keep them safe and guide them and just keep them on the track to you, Father. We love you. We thank you for everything that you do. Amen. All right, guys. Go and be blessed.